Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Hello and welcome back to my podcast, Visual Learner. I'm Harland, and what's up, everybody? How are you doing? I've had a pretty busy week. I guess let's talk a little housekeeping before I get into the main meat of this episode. I moved to another city, not that far away. It's just across a bridge, across a body of water. So it's been a trek. I am settling in. I am spending way too much money on furniture that I did not have previously because I was living in a tiny little in-law unit. And if you know anything about in-law units, it's basically the bottom floor behind the garage of a two-story house. And San Francisco is full of them. And I spent way too many years there, and I finally got to a place where I could move out. I also quit my fucking job. I'd been there for 7 years. And luckily, I have friends. The only way you can get a job nowadays is if you know somebody that will hire you. And so luckily that happened, and I got a job. I start next week. This video will probably come out on my first day. And I'm doing content. I'm the content and social media manager for a small little company in the East Bay. So I'm not going to tell you what it is, because I don't need anybody showing up to my place of work. Although at some point you'll probably figure it out. I'm going to be in some of these videos that I'm making for the brand. So whatever, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. What else is going on? I didn't realize how stressed I was, from moving until I got a canker sore. Every time I get stressed, canker sore, it's the one weird quirk, of my body that I've discovered. Every time I'm stressed, boom, disgusting, awful canker sore. It actually kind of hurts to talk right now. So if you see me doing the Stallone lip, I'm babying it. That's why it looks like I had a stroke. I also started a Patreon. Finally, I have been talking about it for like a year, maybe. And I finally did it. There's three tiers, $1, $2, and $5. The $1, I mean, for $1, you basically get all the content that I'm going to post to YouTube on there. The second tier is like early access. So I'm going to post the videos there first. And then the third tier is, you know, when I have behind the scenes stuff to share, that tier will get access to that. Eventually, I would like to do more, you know, offer more benefits and things like that. I have merchandise designs that I would like to either include as part of the Patreon tiers or just sell it outright. But like, eventually I want to do offer more stuff. It's just one of those things where it's trying to figure out how do I balance my new day job And how many hours a week can I use to just schedule and plan and manage a Patreon on top of, you know, making videos and a podcast. So there's a lot on my plate, and it's going to be slow going at first to kind of see what the interest on Patreon is, and kind of go from there. But, you know, if you want to just spend a dollar, you know, on Patreon and to just support me, that would be great. If you can't afford it, then don't give me money. It's fine. You know, I had a conversation. I don't know if you watched, the video I did with Austin, we kind of talk about that. And I was inspired partially to actually do this because of what he was doing with his podcast, making it, he makes way more content than I do. And he puts it all on Patreon for a dollar, as opposed to, you know, Instagram and YouTube and TikTok and everything now. I'm kind of in a different place with that, but making it a dollar, I think was, you know, it was cool to see. And so, I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just saying I ripped off his idea. Not that it's like a unique idea or anything, making a dollar Patreon, but credit where it's due. I saw him do that and I was like, oh, I should probably, that makes sense. You know, so that's what's going on. Please go subscribe to that if you want to. What's going on today? You know, I had a couple of people in a update post on YouTube, you know, because sometimes I ask, you know, what topics, especially after moving for like the last week, I haven't really been paying attention to what's going on the internet. I've seen a couple of things here and there. Last week, though, I did watch the Elephant Graveyard video about Joe Rogan, and there were some people in the comment section asking for me to give my 2 cents. I'm going to be honest, I haven't finished the whole thing. It's like an hour and a half or maybe 2 hours. It's very good, and I keep watching it in chunks because it's so good. And it makes me feel like quitting YouTube altogether. But it's really good. And, you know, it's about the stand-up scene, the Joe Rogan comedy starship, comedy mothership scene that's happening in Austin, and how it's basically a cult and Joe Rogan is their dear leader. If you haven't watched it, go watch it. I think, what are my thoughts on it? I mean, it's great. It's a great video, and it's a strange time for stand-up comedy because so much of it overlies a Venn diagram of like weird manosphere conspiracy theorists that he has on, and he's cultivated this whole group of sycophants, some who have been in the stand-up comedy scene for much longer than Joe Rogan, sucking his ass all the time. And I mean, a big portion of it is talking about Kill Tony. I think Elephant Graveyard did a video on Tony Hinchcliffe at some point. I could be misremembering, but the parts that stand out the most are when he's ripping on Tony Hinchcliffe, because Tony Hinchcliffe is a hack. That dude sucks. The whole Kill Tony the fact that it got a Netflix deal, like special, is crazy to me. It's a worse version of the Comedy Central roasts. It is so unfunny, so mean-spirited. And there's some people that show up on the panel that I'm like, you're better than this. What are we doing here? Like Adam Ray. I like Adam Ray. What the fuck is he doing on Kill Tony? I like Shane Gillis to a certain extent. He is not the Trumper weirdo that I think a lot of people think he is. And like, there's clips of him on Joe Rogan's podcast where he's like telling Joe Rogan, like, you're an idiot, shut up. I mean, regardless, it's great to see somebody kind of deconstruct what the fuck is going on with Joe Rogan and his whole weird sphere of influence. Because he himself is not even that great of a stand-up comic. You know, he's nowhere near the level of like Bill Burr. He's just somehow cultivated this sense of, I don't know, pseudo-intellectualism that has slipped down into an anti-intellectualism that is such a weird pipeline. He constantly gets fooled by like fake Onion articles and AI slop. It's hilarious. And yet he is somehow like lauded as this great thinker. All right, Socrates. It's weird. That whole scene of people are pathetic man's children. So go watch the Elephant Graveyard video. They're really great. Very unique. I'm always blown away by, or I am blown away by his editing. And just the way he writes his scripts are fantastic. I wish I could be that good. I wish I was as good as that with my own content. But, you know, I'm trying different stuff occasionally. So, I mean, there's a big thing I want to talk about at towards the end of this, the whole Taylor Lorenz dark money liberal thing, which I'll get into in a minute. But I saw this morning these urgent care staff members in Santa Barbara. I have the article from the New York Post, a very reputable, outlet. So, California urgent care staff fired after posting dehumanizing TikTok mocking patients in exam room. If you're watching the video, I'll have the photos up right next to my head. but these nurses took a bunch of photos after, I assume, women or female patients came and sat on their exam tables with the nasty wax paper that comes out that makes everyone feel just awful about themselves to begin with, and they put you in that horrible, horrible gown. And they took photos where they're all gathered around the stains from the bodily fluids of the patients from the paper coverings, with captions that say shit like, guess the substance. Hey man, what? What the fuck? I don't want to know. Dude, hospitals are fucking disgusting to begin with. I don't want to know about all, I already know that there are bodily fluids just all over the place. Take a black light into a hospital. It must look like a horror show. I already know it's there. I don't need photos of the puddle that's left from patients. Now listen, I'm not saying it's gross that the human body does this. The human body itself is just gross. We got dead skin cells and all kinds of shit that come off us. We're shedding all the time. You got eye boogers and, you know, piss and shit come out of holes in our bodies. It's weird the longer you think about it. To shame people, though, from going and trying to get, you know, what is it? It's not Socratic. Hippocratic urgent care. And to post this shit online is crazy. It's crazy. The fact that they're all like smiling and shit and making a joke out of it is so weird. And oh my God, all shapes and sizes. Showing a disturbing image of a different worker bending over a large stain on a different exam table while sticking her tongue out. Yeah, these photos are fucking gross. I mean, they're not as bad as the Abu Ghraib photos, but they have that same kind of energy, if you know what I'm saying. All it's missing is a person in a nightgown naked, just physically there. They're all kind of doing the same thing. It's weird. Anyway, they all got fired. I wanted to bring it up because my mom was a nurse. I think she was pretty good, a pretty good nurse. You know, I never went to take your kid to work day or anything with her. But by all accounts, she was a good nurse who cared about her job and would never do this shit. Now I think half of nurses and people in the medical industry are like that. They actually care and they wouldn't do some weird shit like this. However, I've been around enough nurses with my mom being in the medical field in various roles throughout my life. The other half are fucking psychos. A lot of, especially like the lower end, like LVNs, because they haven't gone through the RN program. It's like a whole other thing. LVNs are, from what I understand, pretty much glorified caretakers. So they're all kinds of people that just need a job, kind of. And I've met and hung around with a lot of these people, and brother, there are some fucked up LVNs and nurses out there. So like, while this is disgusting, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised. You know, living in a small town when my mom was a nurse, the LVNs that worked there, or like worked with her, man, some of them were like high school dropouts. Some of them had kids when they were like 16. Some of them were, you know, ex-meth heads that had cleaned up and like gotten their shit together and, you know, good for them. But I think, I only point this out because I think there is a misconception about people that work in the medical industry, that they all make a decent amount of money, that they're all like doctors essentially, right? When you ask somebody like, hey, what do you think about medical professional? I think most people immediately think to male doctor. Just like when you think about, you know, Band-Aids, you're thinking about Band-Aid brand, not adhesive bandage, right? It's kind of, I feel like, is that an insane analogy? I think a lot of people have, though, that idea of a guy in a lab coat with a stethoscope. They're not all like that. They're not all like that. Some of them are psychotic. Some of them don't even believe in vaccines. Huh? How do you go through the nursing program and even medical school to be like, yeah, nursing or vaccines aren't real. Vaccines give you autism. There are nurses out there. There are doctors and medical professionals out there that don't believe in that shit, even though they've read the literature. So no, I'm not surprised that a bunch of urgent care caregivers and LVNs and RNs sat around pointing at what is probably vaginal discharge or just butt sweat. How, like, that's even worse. It's probably just butt sweat, dude. It's probably hot in your tiny little urgent care facility. You got no air conditioning in these fucking places. Yeah, they're gonna leave a snail trail from their asshole humidity. It's not even that big of a deal. I mean, neither is the vaginal discharge. That happens to everyone with a vagina. Anyway, brother, This person gave a thumbs up. I don't, this one might, I don't know if this one is like thumbs up. Hey, it's okay that you have some kind of fluid leaking out of your bottom. It's not that. It's not that at all. This clinic, by the way, Sansum Clinic. It's a partnership with Sutter Health. So, hey, that's a weird thing that's going on too. All these major health companies buying up little clinics all over the country. That's not good. That probably shouldn't be a thing anyway. So I saw that this morning and it just reminded me of my exposure to, you know, nurses and being surprised as a teenager that like, oh, nurses are fucking crazy. They're the redheads of the professional world. Apologies to any redheaded viewers out there. I love you. It's just a joke. So, okay, let's see. Let's talk about this Taylor Lorenz thing. I need to pull some stuff up because there was an article that was published last week on Wired. And it's titled, "A Dark Money Group is Secretly Funding High-Profile Democratic Influencers." It was written by Taylor Lorenz, who is a political commentator. I don't know much about her. I know that she's been on like Hassan's stream. I used to follow her, but I've heard mixed things about her. Some people are like, she's doing a great job. It literally also feels like it's 50% split between, like, you know, I guess online leftists, but there's a lot of liberals that follow her too. But within those two groups, it's like half of them are like, she's great. The other half are like, she's sketchy and weird. This whole thing, I just don't know what to believe. There have been a lot of content creators that I follow that have kind of supported what this article claims is happening. And then there are also people that I respect and follow that are saying the opposite. And people have a fundamental misunderstanding of what the situation is. I don't know what to believe at this point. There's so much information that came out about this over the course of a couple of days. Every day I was learning something new and somehow felt like I knew less. So the byline, no, it's not byline. It's like a little descriptor thing, whatever it's called. Subheading. An initiative aimed at boosting Democrats online offers influencers up to $8,000 a month to push the party line. All they have to do is keep it a secret and agree to restrictions on their content. Now, I'm not going to obviously read the entire thing, but I did read the article. And upon first reading, if you don't know anything else or you haven't heard anybody talk about it, you're like, oh shit, this is kind of crazy. They mention Aaron Parnas and David Pakman as, you know, political commentators who were part of a... I can't remember how they describe it. It's like a think tank situation where basically they're taking money in order to dole that out to creators who are part of Chorus. Chorus is like the I don't know, an LLC or whatever it is. And that money comes from the 1307 or fund or whatever the fuck. I can't read the article because it's locked behind a goddamn paywall. Let me pull up a paywall remover. So they dole out the money to these influencers and political commentators, you know, that are liberals at best, at most, at least, from a program called the Chorus Creator Incubator. And it's funded by liberal dark money, quote unquote, from something called the 1630 Fund. Now, the 1630 Fund is They've financed a bunch of attack ads against Trump and other Republicans. So, you know, they're on at least the right side of things. I don't know much more about them than that. I know that it comes from, there's a certain kind of nonprofit where you don't have to disclose, you know, the donations or that you're taking money from a government. I mean, it's like a PAC. It really feels like a political action group, committee, political action. What does the C stand for? Political Action Committee. Okay, I was right. So that's why it's called dark money, is because of the kind of nonprofit it is. It's like a, what the fuck is it, dude? I should have done some research before I just start talking about this shit. 501c3 or 4. So they don't reference any of the contracts in the article. They just say they have a copy of them and that they've looked over them and that everything that they write in this article is accurate. The thing is that I've seen some criticisms about the way this is written. That, you know, one, that it makes it sound really scary. That the dark money thing is, you know, fear-mongering. You know, there could have been a different way that you could have phrased it. But at the same time, it's like, this is the same shit that Republicans do. We call that dark money. Why don't we call this dark money? It comes from the same 501c3 or 4, whichever one it is, right? They do the same fucking thing. Now, in response to that, there are some people that are saying, well, Republicans and conservatives who use this dark money, their own dark money groups, you know, they're spending hundreds of millions of dollars, an insane amount of money that dwarfs what this group, Chorus, is offering the creators that it's working with. But then again, it's like also in response to that, some people are like, well, we shouldn't resort to the tools of our ops, essentially. We shouldn't do it that way. Now, to me, it kind of feels like we have to work within the system to a certain extent, right? That line of argument really kind of feels like when they take the low road, we take the high road. And like, I'm not a believer in that either, right? I kind of don't see a problem with using the tools of my enemy to beat my enemy. You know, I know that there you run the risk of turning into that person if you use those tools enough. But I think, yeah, it's a really, the whole thing is just super fucking messy to begin with too, because once this article came out, all the creators that were named in it went on the defense immediately in a really kind of gross way. Both David Pakman and Aaron Parnas responded saying that it was all debunked and that it wasn't true and that there's a, you know, they're misconstruing Chorus and the 1630 fund to get, you know, attention and all these things. But then like in the same exact tweets that those two guys posted, it was like, but don't forget, you can go sign up and subscribe and give me your money to still support me. It's like, bro, you're making $8,000 a month from this Chorus group. What? That's just a bad look. And then I guess recently, fucking Dave, damn it, I keep hitting my microphone. I'm sorry if you can hear that. And then David Pakman, too, did like, I don't know if it was today or the other day, fucking made a video addressing it again where he was like saying he was, because a lot of people are saying that like, oh, this is all funded by AIPAC. They get money from AIPAC. And then David Pakman is like, I don't even know how you say, how you pronounce APAC. APAC? IPAC? I don't even know. And it's like, bro, what are you even doing right now? You know how to fucking say it. You've been fucking talking about it for how many years? So the whole thing is just really messy. No one is handling this with any sort of delicacy. No, I mean, even like the other problem too, as soon as this whole thing came out, there were other creators that I followed that had to go out and be like, hey, I'm getting a bunch of hate comments and death threats now, and I've never even been a part of this group. So people that read it went out of their way to find, or they just assumed that other political commentators that are kind of, you know, in the same realm as the people named in the article are also a part. They're all a part of it. Like, at what point does this not sound like some Alex Jones conspiracy theorist shit, dude? They're all part of it. The dark money group that's funding Democratic influencers. I mean, at the same time, it's like, dude, I don't know why some leftists are that mad about some of these creators, if this is true, or as nefarious as it sounds, when like the majority of these people are fucking liberals to begin with. Like Aaron Parnas is not a progressive left-leaning voice. Dude, like that guy has made it very clear he is a vote blue no matter who liberal. David Pakman, from some of the stuff I've seen, he's also not the most pro, he's not a fucking socialist, is what I'm saying. Right? So like, why is everybody super surprised by some of these creators? But two, I don't know what two is. You know, I don't know what to think or who to believe at this point. This whole thing is just so fucked. And, you know, it's one of those things where I think at the end of the day, it's about whether or not you find it unethical to take money from a nonprofit like this in the first place. I would have to look and see what other things they're funding for me to really make any sort of judgment call on, you know, the intentions of Chorus. But, you know, like, dude, I also, you know, some of the people are saying that, like, in the contract that there's language that makes it sound like these creators can't talk about certain issues, or that if they want to interview a certain politician, they have to like run it by Chorus first to get like approval. But then the creators that are a part of it are like, yeah, that's not how it works. So I don't know if it's a thing of like they're naive in thinking that that Chorus won't, you know, enforce those aspects of the contract. Or if it really is like a pretty chill thing to be a part of and to work with, because a lot of it is like, you know, helping up and coming political commentators in the similar sort of vein, you know, help them cultivate their space. Right. I mean, it's also a weird thing too, because these people aren't breaking news stories. Right? Like, they're collecting and scouring the internet for breaking news, and then they're just kind of sharing that with you. You know, I'm sure some of it with a liberal bent, but these people aren't like reporters. They're content creators that talk about politics. Like, why? I don't know if we need that. More? I think we do. on like the liberal Democrat side, definitely on the leftist side, because that's what, you know, I mean, the right-wing version are Ben Shapiro sitting and literally reading the fucking news and then having some Braden Ed take about it. I've never really seen these people talk, I don't know, talk about any sort of political topic, issue, or anything, and be really taking a real stance on any of it. I could be wrong. Again, I don't, it's not like I've ever sat down and watched a whole fucking, I don't know how long are videos of the David Pakman makes. You know, I've watched some Philip DeFranco stuff, but I don't know. I just don't know what the fuck is going on at this point. And I'm tired of it. I mean, it's died down somewhat now. But like one of the other things that I saw someone talking about is that Taylor Lorenz has also taken money from this fund that she is talking about as if it's some clandestine hood wearing group of billionaires. Like, you've also taken money from these people. The whole thing is just so weird. I've also seen her, like, people posting videos where she went to like some conservative convention, and she's doing videos for Rumble, which is usually where, you know, conservative lunatics on YouTube, when they get banned, they go to Rumble, and she's making content over there. It's like, what are you? You know what I mean? What are you? That was the big news over the weekend that I wanted to talk about. And honestly, like, if anybody has a better analysis of this whole situation, please enlighten me. I'm not on one side or the other at this point. And I just, some clarification would be fucking great. Because it's so silly. The whole thing feels so silly. Anyway, I didn't have anything else really I wanted to talk about. Let me pull up, see if anybody submitted some questions or advice before we go. All right, so we got a couple of old ones here that I'll rapid fire get through real quick so I can clear at least. Make sure you go to in the description, there's a form you can fill out to ask me advice or questions or give me topic ideas and things like that to talk about in later episodes of this podcast. Somebody asked, how has your taste changed from teens to now? Also, a band would you ban from Earth if you could? Honestly, my music taste hasn't changed that much since I was a teenager. Growing up, I was always listening to the oldies radio. So I still like a lot of oldies. Steely Dan, you know, I can't think of any other bands because it's like when someone asks you what your favorite movie is, your mind goes blank. And then I grew up and then like, you know, my teens, I was listening to Korn and Deftones. I still love Deftones. Their new record rips. Everybody should go listen to that. Weird title for a record, Private Music. I was confused when it showed up on Apple Music and I was like, wait, huh? I thought that it wasn't out yet and that was the default title of the record because it hadn't released yet. And so it was showing up as like a default, this music is private, but that's the actual name of the record. Anyway, it's really good. Go listen to Deftones. Yeah. Music taste hasn't changed much at all. If I'm being completely honest, I think I listened to a wider variety of music. But it hasn't, honestly, I like the same shit that I did back then. I like a lot of it. I like it all. Let's see. How do you deal with the inevitability of your followers forming a parasocial relationship with you? Do you think you've personally ever had a fixation on a celebrity or content creator? I just try not to think about it. It's inevitable that it's going to happen. And so what the fuck am I going to do? The only way that I can combat it, I think, is to point it out and be like, hey, don't be weird. I should put that on a t-shirt. Don't be weird. But like, I get it. I've been there. I've had parasocial relationships or fixations on famous people in the past. Yes, I have. I don't know how much detail I should go into. You know, as a teenager, especially with like, I mean, when I was a teenager, there was no fucking YouTube, right? There was barely internet. So it was always like celebrities or whatever. And all those like gossip magazines that would be in the checkout aisle at the grocery store. And, you know, you develop a version of that person that is not at all real. You know, you don't realize that until much later. Honestly, with the advent and acceleration of the internet and behind the scenes videos you can find and you know, movie featurettes and just the never-ending press tour, I think that now, at least for me, it's harder to form a parasocial relationship with a celebrity because you really do get to see all sides of them. And you're like, that doesn't line up with what was in my head, the way you answered that question or whatever. So I think it's honestly, the more access you have, the harder it is to create those fixations. But it is what it is. You know, as long as people, again, aren't weird about it, I can't control how somebody feels. And I think, too, to a certain point, like, the fantasy is fine, you know? Because we all kind of experience those things, I think it's fine. You know, I think it's fine to fantasize about, you know, who this person is, or, like, even thoughts like, man, we'd be such good friends. Man, me and Timothy Chalamet would be such good friends in real life, I bet. I'm just going to ruminate on that for a while. Because my real life sucks. It's a form of escapism, and as long as it doesn't, you know, start to control your life and your decisions or affect you financially. I think that's one of my biggest problems with like Swifties, dude, is it's a similar thing to like Michael Jackson fans in like the 80s and 90s, where you look like you are going through a manic episode. I mean, she really exploits her fans a lot more, I think. She makes like a dozen different record covers for every album. Unnecessary. Not just because you're clearly just trying to wring every last penny out of your fans. But you just, you know, 12x'd the amount of records you need to make, which is not good for the planet. How much more money do you need, T-Swift? Taylor? Somebody else asks, please do a tattoo tour. I already did that in an old video that you can go watch. I don't know I can't remember what it's called. But I did that. That exists. How do you deal with dating as a content creator? What's your type? I'm not going to tell you what my type is, but, dude, I've been so busy. Dating is like not even near the forefront of my brain or priorities right now. I've had several relationships, and the last one was fine, but it was got really intense in a really short period of time. And after that, I realized that was one of my, toxic traits in a relationship is I tend to say I love you way too soon. So after that ended, I figured, let's go to school. Let's focus on me now. I'm focusing on my career. So I don't know. I haven't really dealt with it yet. I don't know. It'll happen when it happens, guys. You know, it's written in the stars. Somebody asked, what do you think about the Sydney Sweeney Eugenics American Eagle ad campaign fervor? I think I mentioned it a little bit in one of my previous videos. This question is from July 31st, so I think that I don't know if I made that video or mentioned it at or around that time. This is almost 2 months old now. It's a little more than a month old question. I'm pretty sure I've answered that. It's a real bummer that American Eagle stocks went through the roof, though. So we're going to get more eugenics ads real soon, I'm sure of it. But I think there was also, or no, so there was, somebody was sharing like a Gap ad that had like a very diverse group of people dancing around and shit. And they were like, fucking incredible that Gap absolutely takes down American Eagle in their new ad. And it's like, bro, they've been doing ads like that since the fucking 90s. I don't think they were trying to, you know, throw shade at American Eagle. That's just their campaign style. You're being silly and you're reading too much into it. Yeah, I mean, Sydney Sweeney's making some choices, that's for sure. Take solace in knowing that, like, the last two movies that have come out that she's in have fucking bombed. I don't know that it's necessarily because people aren't going to see it because of the American Eagle ad campaign, or just because they're bad. No one's watching them because they're bad, that's probably funnier. Because I don't think that she's that great of an actor. I was rewatching the first season of White Lotus, totally forgot she was even in it. So that's how memorable she is. And then this last question. Okay, this one's really important, you guys. What's your favorite salad dressing? I'm a white boy. Ranch. Duh. Sometimes I like Italian. Sometimes balsamic vinegar and oil. There's the like kind of fancy ones, the champagne. I don't know if it's Ken's or something, but there's one that's called a champagne dressing. That stuff's good when I feel fancy, but I feel like that's only good on like mixed greens. Not that I eat a lot of iceberg lettuce salads, unless I'm at a, I don't know, round table pizza. But yeah, those are all good. What are the other salad dressings even? I do not like blue cheese. Yeah, that's kind of it. Mostly ranch though. And like, not like the shitty ranch, like the Newman's Own. All the Newman's Own products, by the way, fucking slap. Those margarita frozen pizzas, dude. Oh, they're so good. They're so good. And I don't know what percentage of the proceeds he donates the money. The company, well, he's dead, so he doesn't do it, but the company, donates money and it's great. Go eat Newman's Own. This video is sponsored by Newman's Own. All right, guys. I'm going to wrap it up. I think I've done everything I can here. Be sure to like this video and subscribe and go watch my other videos and then go over to Patreon. And, you know, if you have a dollar a month to spare, that's 3 cents a day, if I'm doing my math right, you can go help support me a little bit. I mean, it is like a tip jar, you know. I'm hoping that because it's only a dollar a month, more people will feel so inclined to, contribute. And eventually, I wouldn't need a day job anymore. That would be pretty fucking cool, right? Also, make sure you go submit questions, comments, or advice, content at the form down below. Give me ideas on stuff I should talk about in the future. I'm working on a video about moving. I think that's going to be my next one. And then I had an idea for a video about collecting, but I don't remember what the rest of it was. I found a saved post though that I saved because I was like, there's something there. And now I don't fully remember what the topic thesis argument was. So I'll probably do that one at some point later, but started writing a script about moving and furniture. So if you have an interest in interior design and stuff like that, I'm going to do my best to make it an interesting video and maybe film myself putting some furniture together for fun. You don't need to know all this. I don't know why I'm talking. I can never end videos well. So I'm going to say goodbye for now. And I love you. Hugs and kisses.